book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, July 16th, 2014, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. Coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of DoubleWideNetwork.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is North American Union. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord, we bow down and we ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit have your way here today. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you and ask that you would open the eyes and ears, spiritually speaking, of those that you have drawn to hear this broadcast, not only today, but 24/7, 365 on demand. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world, as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another captivating episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. Today, our broadcast deals with the subject of the merger of three nations, which are America, Canada, and Mexico. My friends, I last spoke on this subject in September of 2007. This plan to merge America with Canada and Mexico is tied in with what is called the Amero, which is a form of currency that has in the past been talked about as being a possible replacement for the U.S. and Canadian dollar, as well, my friends, as the Mexican peso. The trucking industry plays a part in this as well. It's tied to the merger of these three nations in regards to the fact that trucks coming across the border from Mexico are allowed to move freely between Mexico, America, and Canada. The reason, my friends, that I'm bringing this subject up again is A, because of the devastating illegal immigration activities that are now taking place on the southern border of America, and B, because of the talk of the merger of America, Canada, and Mexico, which is as well known as the formation of what has in the past been coined as the North American Union, has recently come back into the news. As recent as the 10th day of this month, which is July of 2014, with the surfacing of this article titled Illegal Immigration Controversy Revives North American Union Talk, dated July 10th, 2014, written by Debbie Smith for ProphecyNewsWatch.com, of which provides us with this update where the writer begins by saying, 20 years ago, President Bill Clinton enacted the NAFTA, our North American Free Trade Agreement. NAFTA eliminated most of the tariffs on trade between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Its stated purpose was to encourage free trade and economic activity between the three nations. NAFTA created the world's largest trade area, linking 450 million people, producing $17 trillion worth of goods and services. The writer continues by saying, although we hear little about NAFTA from the mainstream media these days, the idea of uniting the three countries of North America still exists and is being pursued academically and politically. The writer says, recently, General David Petraeus, former CIA director, gave a policy speech before the Margaret Thatcher Conference on Liberty, answering the question, after America, what? His answer was, after America, there is North America. In his speech, Petraeus proclaimed the coming of the North American decade. Now, that's a new saying, my friends. That's just coming out in this speech. A vision, he explained, founded on the idea of putting together the economies of the United States, Canada, and Mexico 20 years after the creation of NAFTA. After describing what he calls current revolutions in the economies of these three nations, Petraeus states, the forces unleashed by these countries being as highly integrated as they are, with Canada and Mexico being our two top trading partners, I believe we can argue that after America comes North America, Petraeus explained. The writer goes on to say, General Petraeus teaches a course at City University of New York entitled The Coming North American Decades. The course syllabus includes the following. This seminar will seek to answer the question, are we on the threshold of the new North American decades? The writer as well says that, according to a WND article by Jerome Corsi, the assigned reading specified in the course syllabus shows Petraeus has derived much of his thinking from global economic sources in trying to project the future of North America. Interestingly, the writer says, in a speech at the Mexican border on June 28th, in response to the crisis of unaccompanied children pouring across the border, California Democrat Nancy Pelosi referred to the Mexican-American border as a community with a border going through it. Additionally, she called the emergency an opportunity, not a crisis. The writer states that the above or just read instances reveals the attitudes of some D.C. insiders concerning unity between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The writer points out that since the 1994 implementation of NAFTA, each successive U.S. president has sought to deepen the ties that bind the three nations together, possibly adding the Central and Southern American nations into a North American Union, which would resemble the European Union. Much of the negotiations concerning future expanded trade agreements, such as the controversial TTP or Trans-Pacific Partnership, are shrouded in secrecy due to the opposition by citizens of the involved nations. Secretive organizations such as the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderberg are thought to be instrumental in development of the controversial policies like NAFTA and TTP. The writer ends by saying, the late Admiral Chester Ward, a longtime CFR, or Council on Foreign Relations member, became one of its most notable critics. According to Admiral Ward, the goal of the CFR's leaders is the submergence of U.S. sovereignty and national independence into an all-powerful one-world government. The writer says the Bible Book of Revelation predicts the formation of a powerful one-world government ruled by the biblical Antichrist prior to the return of Jesus Christ in kingly power. The North American Union may be but one piece of the puzzle in this coming new world order. End of the article, my friends. So with that said, my friends, are you really beginning to see just how this whole North American Union thing could possibly be brought to pass considering all the things that are going on the border right now, that people are just pouring in and they just don't seem to know how to fix it. That seems a little odd, my friends. This effort has not happened overnight. It began in 1948 and really began to blossom during the Clinton administration with the first Summit of the Americas in Miami, Florida in 1994. The most recent Summit of the Americas being the sixth, which was held in Cartagena, Colombia in April of 2012, and the seventh is scheduled to be held in Panama in 2015, where it has been said that Cuba must be included. Interesting. The Summits of the Americas was created to bring together the 35 countries of the Americas, or shall we say the Western Hemisphere, for discussion on a variety of issues to help move America smoothly into a North American Union, or NAU. And we're not talking about Northern Arizona University here, my friends. The continuation of this plan was once again brought forward in 2005 when the leadership of three major countries of the Americas, being President George W. Bush for America, Vicente Fox, president of, at that time, Mexico, and the then acting Prime Minister Paul Martin of Canada, met and formed what is now known as the North American Security and Prosperity Partnership, or SPP. These two governmental movements have been set in place to secure our infrastructure, which means they are laying the foundational policies and procedures for all human activity that will be legal in the new North American Union, or NAU. Some of the major areas that are and will be affected are commerce, the transportation sector, or the moving of goods from state to state and nation to nation, which is now being secured by the implementation of open borders for the trucking industry and the North American Free Trade, or NAFTA, superhighway, which goes from Mexico all the way up through Texas and to Canada, my friends, which I might add is already in use. And my friends, right after our break, we'll be checking out another of this of a very important aspect that affects you and I, which has and will continue to be affected by the changes leading up to not only the possibility of an NAU or North American Union, but to the soon coming New World Order and One World Government.
In a statement released today, scientists have announced that based on their research, they have concluded that God is a myth.
Love. let hope arise and make the darkness hide. My faith is dead, I need a resurrection somehow. No, I'm lost in your freedom. And this world.
Friends, God's not dead. Just here to remind you, and it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray and so on and so forth on August 5th. And yes, the shaking of the ground will come soon enough, but I don't want to be here for that. I want to be in glory with the Lord at the rapture. Another important area, my friends, that is being changed by the hopeful creation of a North American Union is, get this, citizenship and travel in regards to the implementation of the Real ID card, which began in 21 participating states to be enforced as of this year, January 20th, 2014. And at this point, those 21 states are said to be in compliance. And it has as well been said that 20 other states and territories have been granted renewable extensions until October 10th, 2014, with even yet another 15 states and territories who are considered to be in a state of non-compliance, who are said to be eligible for extensions as well. I am sure, my friends, that in the very near future, we will begin to see a heavier push to get people to voluntarily take the chip or get chipped or have chipping done, which is the name that has been adopted over the years for those who receive an implantable chip with their ID on it. Don't do it, my friends. Don't do it. The next area that is and will continue to be impacted by the formation of a North American Union is religion. In the implementation of hate crimes in America, such as the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Act, which were signed into law under Obama in 2009. Next, my friends, we have Christianity being kicked to the curb while all kinds of false religions are bombarding American society. Another area to be weakened is the God-ordained uniting of a man and a woman in marriage, in regards to the making of homosexual unions and or so-called marriage acceptable as the norm, of which 19 states at the airing of this broadcast on July 16, 2014 have already done. And last but in no way least, the brainwashing of people, especially children, into believing that these types of unions are as equal and acceptable as the marriage of one man to one woman. My friends, the next area which has already been infiltrated is education. In regards to the pushing of false religions and other religions other than Christianity, including witchcraft and Satan worship, encouraging of the use of all kinds of birth control, for of course, the use in all kinds of sexual activity, including homosexual. And reinforcing the fact that it's okay. Telling our children at the same time in certain school activities not to tell their parents what's going on because they wouldn't understand. And let's not forget, my friends, the new global citizen shaping tools offered by the emerging Common Core curriculum, now playing in a school near you. My friends, the hard, cold facts are that the Goals 2000 school system doesn't want you as a parent to know that your children, under their watch, are being groomed for global citizenship. And this, my friends, is no joke. If you want to read a fact-based book that is jam-packed with information on the deceit that is now taking place in America's background, I highly recommend that you read The World's Last Dictator by Dwight L. Kinman. You won't find this book, my friends, just out on the store shelves, but you can order it at your local Christian bookstore, and it's well worth it. With that said, my friends, the word of the Lord God tells us that we need to be ready, watching, and waiting because, truly, the world's last dictator, who is called the Antichrist, is on the way and shortly shall be revealed to those who have spiritual eyes and ears to see, my friends, and herewith. Amos, in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveal it, but he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets." My friends, you know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. This is exactly the very reason that the Lord God has brought Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, or shall we say StreamsAZ.org web ministry, and Streams in the Desert Live radio ministry into existence. To blow ye the trumpet, and to sound an alarm unto God's sanctified or separated ones, and for a wake-up call unto all to be ready, and to tell everyone that Jesus is soon to crack the eastern skies, my friends, in the rapture. And if you're not ready for the rapture, you're not going to see him. And I guess you truly will be a leftover then. My friends, you need to be read up, prayed up, packed up, and ready to go up. In this case, packed up means your spiritual house needs to be in order, my friends. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ, in good standing, ready to go at the sounding of the trumpet when he comes for his bride in the rapture soon and very soon. Because a WorldNet Daily or WND.com article dated January 5th, 2007, that reveals the plans for the North American Union really begins to hit home, especially when you take into consideration the current mess going on the southern border of Arizona, among other southern U.S. border states. The title of this article is Residents of Planned Union to be Called North Americanists. Arizona State University teaches how continent is to be integrated. You think it's a fairy tale still, my friends? And is thusly stated at its opening. Arizona State University is teaching that the U.S., Mexican, and Canada, that U.S., Mexican, and Canada need to be integrated into a unified superstate, where U.S. citizens of the future will be known as North Americanists. According to the taxpayer-funded Building North America program, the program openly advocates for the integration of economic issues across the continent and in many places goes further, such as the call for a common North American currency, of which, my friends, we just touched on a moment ago, called the Amero. One teaching model, our module made available online for professors to integrate into their teachings, was by George Heinel, senior fellow at Norman Patterson School of International Affairs at Carleton University. Implies a joint military is required. Sounds familiar, my friends. The article goes on to say, since the security of the continent is a joint need, it should be supplied as a common enterprise. Given the nature of the threats against our security in the current environment, the first task, the writer says, get this, my friends, is to reinvent borders. Sound familiar? We must exercise the responsibility for protecting our society against external threats where we can do it most effectively, not where infrastructures happen to be in place, he added. Multilateral cooperation is going to be essential among governments. It is clear to me, at least, we must move beyond NAFTA and do so with a purposeful determination, he wrote. Another teaching paper advocates the adoption of a unified North American currency, the Amero, modeled after the euro currency of the European Union. The programming the university is providing for help in teaching the new North American focus is just the latest evidence of the mounting campaign for a de facto North American Union. Although most in the established press are not covering this controversy, and it's earned a opposition of a number of high-level voices, including congressmen like Tom Turncito, Virgil Goody, and Ron Paul, which is neither here nor there, I suppose. But anyway, newsmen like CNN's Lou Dobbs, but this is kind of an old article because Lou Dobbs jumped ship and he's over at Fox News now, who has described the U.S. government's actions in this effort as Orwellian. Paul, a maverick Republican from Texas, has denoted that such integration plans and warns that most members of the Congress aren't aware of the situation. Really, my friends? And that he is opposing any transnational superhighway projects, such as the Trans-Texas Corridor project in his home state. Oh, guess that didn't work out, my friends. Why? The ultimate goal, he said, is not simply a superhighway, but an integrated North American Union, complete with a currency, a cross-national bureaucracy, and virtually borderless travel within the Union. Are we seeing the start of this, my friends? And it's not just about a North American Union, my friends. It's about a new world order with no borders anywhere in the world and a one world government, which will be headed up by the Antichrist. The article goes on to say, like the European Union, a North American Union would represent another step towards the elimination of national sovereignty altogether. Well, my friends, that's exactly what is happening when you come into the new world order and a one world government. Your sovereignty, your nation's sovereignty is gone. Progress already is significant down the road to a joint government, evidenced by confirmation that the U.S. government is planning to provide full Social Security benefits to Mexicans, as well as a report by the powerful Council on Foreign Relations, or CFR, considered by many to be something of a shadow government that calls for the transfer of mass amounts of wealth from the U.S. to Mexico and the setup of a security perimeter around North America. So what are we, building a concentration camp, my friends? I mean, really. A Canadian website has been set up by those who fear the loss of their Canadian national sovereignty and have already established a timeline for the program. The Arizona State contribution to the move towards a one government continent was launched because of the notion that economic integration in the NAFTA triad, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, was advancing despite the lack of press and public attention it received. And a new website would allow those of us in the triad to link up with the growing body of research about how businesses, governments, and organizations were shaping and adapting to the evolution of a shared economic space. We are now bringing together the fruits of this research endeavor in a new, updated, and redesigned Building North America website, the group said, which, remember, is out of Arizona State University. So if you want to go look up Building North America website, you will probably find it. We are betting on the continued existence of scholars and policy practitioners who would benefit from a site which would consolidate the research and data that we are all generating and thereby build community among us, they said. A telephone number for the managers of the site was unavailable, and a WND email to the site did not generate a response. But the goal is clear. The links, documents, and other materials on this site have been selected, organized, and in some cases designed to advance teaching and research on North American regional integration. At the same time, the site also aims to benefit the broader community of North Americanists within the academy and beyond by putting at our collective fingertips or mouse reach the kinds of current and historical material that will benefit research into an understanding of North American integration, past, present, and future. You know, my friends, there is a time soon coming that a world leader who will be the Antichrist, meaning Satan incarnate, will suddenly appear on the scene to set in motion a one-world political, economical, and religious system as he seeks the counsel of his false prophet. The word of the Lord God says in Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 11, John speaking concerning the vision that he was given of the end times by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, said, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him," who is the Antichrist, my friends. This subject is on the false prophet. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, or the Antichrist, my friends, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, or the Antichrist, my friends, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power, meaning the false prophet, to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save or except he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, the Lord says, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or better known, my friends, as 666. This plan that is and will continue to be implemented through the plans which man is now and has been fabricating through the instruction of Satan since the beginning of time, will continue to unfold at a fast and furious rate. And oh yes, my friends, Satan has been working on this for a very long time. He's been working on the one world governmental, economical, and religious system plan since right after the flood of Noah's time. He even used Noah's grandsons to try and implement a similar plan to take over the world in the attempted building of the Tower of Babel, which God had to put a stop to, for it says in Genesis chapter 11, verses 5 through 9, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one world, my friends, and they have all one language." My friends, we have that again today with the internet system. "And this they began to do, and now nothing will restrain them from, nothing will be restrained from them, says the Lord, which they have imagined to do. The Lord says, Go to, let us go down, and there confound or confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound or confuse the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." You know, my friends, that's Satan's ultimate plan, to take over the world and have everyone worship him as king. For it says in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north," which would be in the temple, my friends. Satan says, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." But you won't be the Most High, Satan. But this is what the Lord God had to say through Isaiah to Satan and his fabulous plan that will never be carried out in the way that he thinks it will be. The Lord simply said, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." This is why, my friends, we need to know God's word. We need to know Jesus Christ as our only way of escape, or shall we say, our Savior, from the soon coming disaster that's upon us and coming full force more and more each day until the rapture will take place, my friends. Jesus will come to whisk away his bride. Then the great swelling plan of Satan will cover the earth. But even more so, God's appointed time of tribulation and great tribulation will begin to descend upon the earth, such as never before. For Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus, the one and only begotten Son of the one and only true and living God of heaven, earth, and Israel, that is, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says might be saved, my friends, because you have a free will. You make the choice as to who you will serve for all eternity. Verse 18 says, "And he that believeth on him," who is Jesus Christ, my friends, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, is condemned already. because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God, my friends, is Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 36, John says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life." This is the word of God, my friends. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. Now, it doesn't mean just, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, you know, the Satan and his demons believe in Jesus too, but they do not have everlasting life, my friends. There's a little bit more to it than just believing that he is who he is. You have to walk in the statutes and commandments that the Lord God has placed in his word for those who belong to him to walk in. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, the word of God says, but the wrath of God abides upon him. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him," meaning God, "that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Eternal life, my friends, instead of eternal death. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, listen very closely, my friends, because there's a lot of people thinking that the rapture is not coming until after the 7 years of tribulation, and that just is not possible. The Word of God doesn't condone that. They're called post-tribbers, and it just doesn't work out that way. God's Word doesn't work in that fashion, and here's a piece of proving that. The Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath." The last 3.5 years of the 7-year period of tribulation is known as the time of great tribulation, or the outpouring of God's wrath upon the earth without measure, my friends. It's also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the great tribulation, my friends. The Lord God says he has not appointed us who believe in his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, and have a personal relationship with him. He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, my friends, means way of escape, to be saved, to be redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ paid that price for us and will return again before the wrath of God is poured out upon the face of this planet to redeem us. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, or we have escaped by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him, says the Word of God. This is why Jesus tells us, my friends, in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God." You believe in a title. Well, guess what? Jesus says, "Believe also in me, because I'm his name. I'm the name of God. My name is Jesus Christ. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I, Jesus said, would have told you. I, Jesus said, go to prepare a place for you. And if I, Jesus said, go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, Jesus said, ye know, and the way, ye know," Jesus said. My friends, remember the word way means method. You know how to get to heaven. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with him, asking him to forgive you of your sins and not going out to sin willfully any longer and not putting yourself in positions to do the things that God would not have you to do. Verse 5 says, "Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way or the method? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the method, the truth, and the life, the eternal life, my friends. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father but by me." In 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, John says of Jesus, "And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." My friends, look, if that's the only scripture you had, you would see that it's Jesus Christ as the Savior of all mankind, and no one's coming, entering into the gates of heaven otherwise. It's not my words, it's the words of God. And this is the record through the Bible, my friends, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, says the Word of God, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Makes it pretty clear, my friends. You know, you can only receive eternal life by way of a personal relationship in good standing with the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ, who is and was the only one whose precious and holy blood was shed upon the cross of Calvary for all who would call upon his name and ask him to forgive them of their sins, and would walk in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit in the here and now. My friends, we are there again to know God's word for ourselves. We need to know it well, and we need to know it correctly. So as the things that begin to take place in this world start to materialize, we won't be duped by believing something that's not true. Which kind of brings me to a thought right now about how there's this show out right now called The Leftovers. And, you know, from what I'm understanding of this show, it's turning people's thought process away from believing that the rapture is something that's A, God ordained, that B, it's a fairy tale, seemingly, to these people. And it is being misconstrued because the people are trying to decide why it couldn't be the rapture, because this person went and that person went and they sinned this way and they sinned that way. Well, guess what? They're not God. God knows we're all sinners, saved by grace, which means the unmerited favor of God, which comes through the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And for whosoever will receive that precious and holy shed blood into their life, spiritually speaking, by asking the Lord to cover their sins, spiritually speaking, with his precious and holy blood, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees his Son, Jesus. And that is how you are received before the throne of God. It is of no doing of your own, except that you be faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, my friends, don't forget, we are to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for ourselves, because it's getting darker every minute, and there is more and more deception. And you know, Jesus said that the sign that would be taking place in larger than life just before his return in the rapture is, he said, "See that no man deceives you by vain babblings, by vain philosophies, by the precepts of man and not God." My friends, we are to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly. And you know what? I don't mind repeating that for the simple fact that, you know, it is God who gave me that saying right there. Through the power and anointing of his Holy Spirit, he is the one who told me this, and he told me to share it with all who will hear, so that we can be ready, watching, and waiting for God's one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, in his imminent, my friends, return in what is called the rapture. It is not a fairy tale. It will happen, just as the flood happened in Noah's time. The rapture will happen in the time that is coming upon us very quickly. And after that, my friends, it is the judgment of God. And if you have not gone with the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture, and God does not have you slated for the other side of the rapture to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by having your head chopped off, then you will forever be left behind and will only stand at the great white throne judgment of God after the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is ended. And for that reason, my friends, the Apostle Paul was commissioned by the Lord God to pen these God-ordained words so that all mankind would know how to be received of the Lord God by way of a personal relationship with his one and only begotten Son, who there again is Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote by way of the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit these timeless words for all mankind, which can be found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that state that if thou or you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus being your Lord, Master, and Savior, and asking him to forgive you of your sins, and thou shalt believe in thine heart, or your heart, that God raised him from the dead. He didn't raise himself from the dead as a man. The power of God's Holy Spirit raised the body of Jesus Christ, the man, my friends. It was done of no earthly will, only by the one and only true and living God. And if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, the word of God says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or as I like to say, it narrows it down to right living in Jesus Christ. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or your way of escape, by confessing that Jesus Christ is your only Lord, Master, and Savior, my friends, and soon coming King and Messiah. Because, my friends, the issues of the heart proceed from the mouth. If you are continuously walking in and serving evil, that's what comes out of your mouth, my friends. And if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing in this world could ever stop you from saying, Jesus is my Lord, Master, and Savior. And, my friends, he is the one and only begotten Son of the one and only true and living God who knows the end from the beginning. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You must call upon him, my friends. If you do not call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, then he's not going to save you. It's your choice. He's not going to have the Holy Spirit intrude into your life in a place that he's not welcome. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For my friends, all those who reject this precious and holy gift of the one and only true and living God, all they can expect is nothing more than what is found written in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, where John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. My friends, found no place for the people that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, and I saw the dead, spiritually dead, my friends, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. People's names that are written in the book of life are those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, and have eternal life. But the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, volumes and volumes and volumes of books, my friends, that are written of people that have passed on through this life and will pass through this life that do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And my friends, it says they were judged according to their works, not by the work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross and the shedding of his precious and holy blood for the covering of and remission of our sins. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. My friends, contrary to popular belief, you cannot get to heaven by good works alone. You must have a personal relationship in good standing with the only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ. Do not be duped by anybody who tries to present good works as your way to getting anywhere, because they are as filthy rags to God, aside from that which the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross and the works that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do in our lives when we belong to him. The Lord God receives those. But without him, they are nothing more than filthy rags. Verse 14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the word of God says. My friends, the second death is to forever be separated from God, Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit, from heaven, from all that is good, from those who tried to point you in the right direction of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, you will have exactly what you think you want, but it will be this: "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friends, at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, the false prophet and the Antichrist will be cast alive, the word of God says, into the lake of fire. And just before the scriptures that I have just read to you right here, you will find that after the end of the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with everybody whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life being cast into the lake of fire, you won't be alone, because after the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth and the closing of this world completely and the new one yet to come, my friends, Satan will be entering in to the lake of fire for all eternity. Why do you think he's trying to take you with him? And with that said, my friends, let me just pray for you today. Dear Lord God, I ask that you would prick the hearts of your people. Lord God, you said your people know your voice, Jesus, and they follow you. And Lord, today, for those who are being pricked by the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, let them come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their way of escape. For Lord Jesus, we know that you are soon to come in the rapture. And my friends, if you will get down today with a broken and contrite heart and spirit and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and to ask the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth and righteousness and bring all things to your remembrance. My friends, if your heart is sincere, God will see that, and you will be born again into the power and Spirit of God. And from this day forward, the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into all truth and righteousness and bring all things that the Lord has set down in his word to your remembrance, as you take on the responsibility of knowing God's word, knowing it well, and knowing it correctly, and keeping your garment without spot and blemish by asking the Lord daily to forgive you of your sins and be ready, watching, and waiting for his imminent return in the rapture. And with that said, my friends, I pray that today you will have asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart, and that you will get yourself a good study Bible, which I can recommend the Fire Bible in the King James Version, and begin to know God's word, know it well and know it correctly, and be ready, watching, and waiting, my friends. You don't want to be left behind for what is yet to come. And with that said, it's a wrap. Thank you once again for tuning in today for the Streams in the Desert Live internet radio broadcast here on the Double Wide Network. Folks, don't forget to visit streamsaz.org daily on the web for updates on prophetic news from around the world, and stay connected with us via social media and Twitter by visiting the Streams in the Desert Live landing page at doublewidenetwork.com/streamsinthedesert. This is Pastor Dana saying shalom and blessings to you all in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Lord, Master, and Savior, soon coming King and Messiah. Yours too, I hope. And until we meet again next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Streams in the Desert Live internet radio broadcast, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, which only comes by way of a personal relationship with his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, and to walk in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Until we meet again, shalom, shalom.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on DoubleWideNetwork.com, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily located on the DoubleWideNetwork.com Streams in the Desert Live landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?